There is an old saying that says we are to keep our fences horse high, pig tight, and bull strong. Now, the closest I ever got to a farm growing up was my uncle's land, which we called Uncle Dudley's Farm. And there was a barn, and it was kind of a shade of red. And it had one donkey and a bunch of cats. So it wasn't quite a farm. But I can understand the need to keep your fences horse high, pig tight, and bull strong. That the last thing you need is short, weak fences with holes in them, where your horses and pigs and bulls can get out and roam free. We have to be careful, though, because the same fences that can protect us can also put us at risk. That even when they are horse high, pig tight, and bull strong, we always need to have a back door for our neighbor. I remember watching the television show Tool Time from years ago, where Tim, this host of a daytime tool show about home improvement projects, always had a way of messing everything up. So he'd come home from work and he'd wander out into his backyard where he would seek help from his neighbor, Wilson, who always said the same thing every day, "Heidi ho, neighbor." And Wilson had a way of helping Tim navigate his problem. But the strangest thing happened in this interaction, because between them was a fence that separated Tim's house from Wilson's, and all you saw of Wilson was his eyes. You never saw his face. Even on occasion, when Tim would wander over into Wilson's house, there was always something in the way of Wilson's face. So as you watched, you always wanted to figure out what he looked like. That too often, our fences that are meant to protect us also put us at risk because we cannot see our neighbor's face. That in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us to be salt, light, and like the Pharisees, which is an odd combination. That we're called to be salt of the earth, out there amongst the people of this world. That salt was a symbol of commitment in Judaism. That we're never to lose that distinct taste of a commitment or devotion to God, which takes us out there. And then we are called to be light of the world. You know, to never hide that light under a bushel basket, as that wonderful children's song reminds us. That I can imagine during this day and time, a one-room house getting very dark around sundown. That there's no light switch on the side of the wall. Perhaps just a small lamp over there in the corner of the room, but as small as it is, the light moves out into all the darkness of the room. And then we are called to be like Pharisees, to fulfill all the law of the prophets, who always stood up for the most vulnerable amongst us. That the prophets spoke out against the powerful and spoke for the vulnerable. That all of these commitments keep us from ever becoming isolated from others. And one of the prophets that Jesus had in mind when he was talking about the law of the Pharisees and fulfilling all of the law of the prophets right there in the Sermon on the Mount was the prophet Isaiah, who calls us to go out into the world as an act of worship. That he's talking about the meaning of fasting, talking about what it means that it calls us out into the world where we find the needs of the people, even identifying with the pains of the hungry. But like any act of worship, it can be turned inward. So Isaiah says, why do we fast, but we do not see? Why humble ourselves, but we do not notice? Look, we serve our own interest on the fast day. So Isaiah says, fasting is not to turn inward, it is to turn us outward. That it is supposed to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Isaiah asks, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? That worship is to help us see our neighbor's face. To care for the poor and the vulnerable. And I am so thankful for everything that happens in this room. That we gather here each week to ponder life's hardest questions. To return again and again to the words of Jesus, to celebrate what is most good and to be there for one another whenever life is hard, and to brush up against God's presence in ways that we would find it hard to articulate. That what we do in here is always connected to what is happening out there. That when we look upon the beauty of the stained glass windows, it is to turn our attention to the beauty of God in all creation, to bring light into darkness. And the grace on this table is meant to change all of our other tables, widening the grace of God that we offer others in our lives. And the waters of baptism keep us from standing in one place, because the current of those waters are always carrying us forward, plunging us into new opportunities to stand with those who are hurting the same way that God stands with us. And the prayer concerns that we voice in this room send us out to pray with our hands and our feet. And every time we take two steps towards Scripture, we always take two steps towards the needs of others, because we have been included in God's outward love. That worship calls us to care for the poor and the vulnerable. As Stanley Hauerwas once wrote, theology is the delicate art of helping the church keep its story straight. That what we do in here helps us keep our story straight out there. And whenever I think about what we do in this room, I cannot help but think about the children and young people growing up in these pews. Because part of our calling is to walk beside them as they grow up in this place. And one of my deepest hopes in all of this life is that for the children and young people growing up in these pews, that before they eventually leave this room, that they gain certain things that they can take with them. That I hope that they hear in this room that they are created by God as children of God, and so is everybody else. And I hope that they hear in this room that the words of Jesus are worth returning to again and again, and that they can be trusted to shape our lives throughout our lives. And I hope that they hear in this room about God's steadfast love and forgiveness, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of Christ. And I hope in this room that they learn to care for and about the Bible, that they are committed to the life of the church and living in community with others, and that they are compassionate towards everyone they meet. And I dearly hope that in this room, they hear that we are called to care for the poor and the vulnerable in the name of Christ. And because we hope for them to know those things, it calls us to embody them ourselves. Because they are watching. That we can begin by telling them about what we are doing. Whether that is serving meals through loaves and fishes, or helping those overcome language barriers at conversational English, or visiting those in the jail. Whether it's swinging a hammer for Habitat for Humanity or supporting global missions through the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, whether it's giving to benevolence needs or praying for the hurting or visiting the sick, whether it's telling them about all of the things that we are doing. But it's not just only about what we are doing. It's also about what we say. That whenever we see our neighbor who has less cushion around their lives than ours, how we talk to them or about them teaches our children and young people about us. That we can strive to to see Christ in all people. Because what we say and do in here has everything to do with what we say and do out there. Amen.